Yes, good morning. The time is 32 after 11. You're with Gavin King on the 4CA Talk Show. A little bit of time left to call in, 1300 872 911. We heard from a couple of Labor senators earlier in the week, Senator Nita Green and Murray Watt, just talking about that fairly momentous election on Saturday. We also heard from opposition leader David Crisafulli this morning, just talking about the situation with ambulance ramping. Pretty bad. I passed on the story about my mum who waited an hour and a half for an ambulance to arrive just north of Brisbane after she was attacked by a dog. She broke her patella, which is her kneecap. She had a fractured wrist. She was lying in the gutter for an hour and a half after neighbours rushed out to help. They called an ambulance and the ambulance said, "Sorry, we can't get anyone to you. Can you put her in a car?" And of course, they tried to move mum, and she's nearly 70. And she was screaming in absolute agony, as you can imagine. They called the ambulance back to say, "Look, we cannot move her. We can't put her in a car and bring her to a hospital." An hour and a half later, an ambulance came. I only passed on that personal story because it's happening more and more. The stats are now out as well. We're lucky to grab a few minutes with a former AMBO. In fact, of course, now the member for Barron River, Minister for Seniors and Disability Services, also Minister for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Partnerships. Craig Crawford joins me on the line. Craig, the situation with ramping, mate, what's going on there?
Yeah, g'day, Gavin. Look, obviously, the system is under incredible pressure at the moment, you know, and I can say outright, like, what happened with your mum, like, that's completely inappropriate. There's no doubt about that at all, you know. As you know, from when you were in office and I was on road, we certainly attacked your government quite strongly from an ambulance perspective about ramping. You know, the system at the moment it's really, really stressed.
But let me just pick you up on that. Let me just pick you up on that, because according to the opposition, and I'm sure you can dispute these figures, but according to the opposition, under Anna Bligh's leadership in government, ramping was at about 30%. Under the LNP, ambulance ramping was at 15%. In some areas across this state, it's as high as 67%. The average statewide is 42%, but it was only 30% under Anna Bligh, 15% under the LNP.
Yeah, it's extreme at the moment. Oh, I don't dispute the figures certainly at all. There's it's a bit like the housing. We've got a lot of people now that are more than ever that are trying to access the system, and it's not just ambulance, it's emergency departments, GPs, all across the board, and that's putting incredible pressure right across the whole network. You know, a couple of years ago, you would never hear of, or rarely you would hear of, stories in ambulance control rooms of people waiting for, you know, hours, you know, with significant injuries and time critical.
So what's changed then, Craig? What's changed though? We knew population was going to grow. It always grows. So what's different from the days that you were in AMBO where you didn't have this kind of ramping pressure? Have we not planned for it? Have we not planned and invested enough for it?
Well, it's hard to really, like, it's hard to sort of put your finger on it, but the call volume has certainly gone through the roof. You know, you talk to any on-road staff now, or even any emergency department staff, call volume and patients presenting to hospital is just, it's significantly higher, much higher than what you would sort of get, you know, in any sort of projected growth. I think that's what we need to confront. And this is not just as a state. I think we're having this issue as a nation, to try and work out what's actually the core issue around that. It's almost as if a significant portion of the population have changed the way that they access health services. They're doing it differently, and maybe government services haven't caught up with that. But, you know, it's a significant issue right now. It's not something that you throw money at. I think there's got to be, you know, a big sort of shake-up of the whole thing. It's everything from access to GPs, emergency departments, ambulances, you know, really time-critical things, non-acuity. You know, back when I was on road, a lot of the issues we were having were people that were calling ambulances that didn't need to call ambulances. They were time wasters, in essence, in that they had small, insignificant things. But that's not happening now. We're actually seeing that a lot of people that are calling ambulances now are actually really sick. So we're seeing ramping at hospital with patients that are sicker than what they were 5 years ago. So I think, you know, there's obviously got to be a big deep dive into this.
Do you have any AMBO mates who've contacted you in recent months with concerns about ramping?
Oh, look, I still talk to some, you know, every now and again. I had dinner with a colleague of mine just the other night. He's working in Brisbane. He's one of the supervisors down there. And, you know, he was telling me much of, you know, what I've sort of just relayed to yourself. The circumstances like what your mother had is now becoming a lot more common. That's certainly the news of there. And, you know, paramedics are spending a lot more time on the ramps at hospitals because of obviously the congestion issues that they're having. So, you know, the more that they're at the hospitals, the less time they've obviously got to be out on road, you know, doing their role.
I obviously know your health minister, and we'll finish on that topic now. But you know, you do sit at the cabinet table, as we said. You were an AMBO on the front line. You said there that throwing more money at the problem isn't the answer. So what is the answer, Craig Crawford? How is this? Hasn't just happened last week. It's been going on for months and months. It was happening before COVID. COVID, of course, has made it worse. The influenza is out, so absolutely. But what is the answer here beyond just saying we need to do a deep dive into the issue?
Well, let me just correct. Like, one of the things, obviously, investment is one of the things that has to happen. But, you know, my point being is that, you know, we have a system which is growing at this exponential rate faster than what we've ever seen. So I think the answer is more than just funding. I think we've got to look at the whole, you know, like I say, the whole access to health, all the way through. So we know right now that it is harder to get to a GP now than what it's ever been. We need to work out why that's the case. We need to work out why less GPs are bulk billing than they used to. We need to understand that better, because what happens, I think, when people can't get access for fairly day-to-day issues, they then compound and become more serious, to the point where you're now ringing 000. So what we've found, or what we've certainly heard, is that patients that are presenting to emergency departments now are sicker than what they used to be 5 years ago. So we used to have a whole lot of people lined up in the corridor with minor ailments. They're actually now quite significant. They need cardiac monitoring and things like that. So I think we've got to look at this whole thing as a package, and we can't miss the federal government's responsibility in this. We know that every state and territory is having this problem. So, you know, we can't let the feds off the hook, and obviously a new Labor government in Canberra, and we've got to hold them to account because I think they need to be funding 50-50 for help.
Well, I await the strident commentary against the Albanese Labor government from the state Labor government if they don't fund our health system properly. Now, Craig Crawford, I did see a great announcement with a grant from the state government supporting community night patrols at Cowan Yama. It's a community-led service, hoping that it will improve public safety in Cowan Yama. So a great trial there. Just this morning, Craig, we caught up with police headquarters. It was a very long chat because the boys in blue and the girls in blue have been very, very busy. I mean, one example here in the CBD, detectives have charged two girls aged 15 and 13. It'll be alleged that one of the girls sprayed deodorant in the victim's face. The victim was 16 years old. And after she confronted them about non-payment of products, later that night when the 16-year-old finished her shift, it was 7:30, she was walking near the bus stop on Spence Street. This same group have allegedly confronted her. She was punched in the face. She was knocked to the ground where the alleged assault continued. Her bag was stolen. It was only by absolute chance that police were on patrol and they managed to round up these kids. Now, that was just one of the incidents that police called us from this morning. If you can fund a community-led night patrol in Cowan Yama, why can't something like that happen here in Cairns?
I think you find that the Cairns Regional Council are actually embarking on something very similar to that. It either has already or is starting fairly shortly. And, you know, like these are good examples of locally led initiatives. So the Cowan Yama Council, they applied for the grant through my department, based around community safety. A similar thing happens in Pomperow, and the reasoning, you know, in the remote communities, the reason that it works there is because having elders and respected people out in the streets sometimes can be a lot more effective at curbing issues or sending, you know, dealing with people that maybe, you know, likely to get up to no good. And there's a bit of a cultural authority that runs there as well. So the dynamics are a little bit different in the remote Indigenous communities than what they would be on the streets of Cairns. But I do know that I'm pretty sure I read something not long ago that Cairns Regional Council was putting something similar into play. I think any organised security patrol is always a good thing. Anything that can assist police with intelligence and those sorts of things, but we need to make sure that they're organised. We can't be having vigilante groups because they have to have a relationship, obviously, with the coppers. We don't want people getting inadvertently hurt.
Are you concerned about the level of crime and the nature of some of these crimes being committed in Cairns and in your electorate there in Barron River?
I think, for me, you know, what I've certainly seen over the years is the it's not so much the increase in the numbers, it's the increase in the severity and just what people are prepared to do. You know, when I grew up, you know, where friends of mine had of proposed that we go break into a house and steal someone's keys from beside them while they're sleeping and then drive their car around the streets, I would have said absolutely no way. Like, we rode around the streets on our push bikes, we thought we were tough. You know, but just it just seems to be this slow incremental increase in just what offenders are prepared to do.
And younger, of course. Younger, of course. 10 year olds, 11 year olds, 13 year olds.
Well, certainly that's right. Recruiting, you know, younger, and you know, and we've got a lot of small kids out there that are vulnerable. You know, they're cognitively impaired. They can easily be recruited by older teenagers and put to work. And you know, this is a, you know, it's a big issue. Not just for us. This is an issue, I think, for the state, the country, and a lot of the world at the moment. And we've got to look at this holistically. I think the best thing that anyone can do is constantly relook at your security and what you do in your own house. Do you hang your keys on a hook that says keys? Do you leave them in the bowl at the front door? You know, we've got to stop working in the backyard while our front doors are unlocked. We've just got to start, you know, thinking a bit more about that. The best way to stop them is actually going to be to stop them being able to get in the first place. But, you know, it's a big issue, mate. And, like, the coppers can't resolve this all on their own. No, like, this is for justice. This is for education. This is for parenting. It's a range of things.
Ambulance ramping, youth crime, rental vacancy rate below 1%, social housing waiting list in the thousands. Is a bit on, Craig Crawford.
Yeah, there's a lot on. I said to someone the other day, mate, I said it's almost like as if during COVID an extra million people turned up that we didn't know were here, because, you know, you look at the rental and even like just the housing situation. It doesn't matter whether you're looking for a social housing property, or whether you're looking to buy something expensive, or you're a middle class earner. It's hard. You know, I'm currently funding through my electorate office, you know, emergency accommodation for working class families who have been, you know, evicted from rental properties because the owner of the property wants to move into the house.
Oh, yeah. We know the problem. Yeah. Absolutely. We're fully across the problem.
Yeah.
It's, what is the state government, after 7 years in government, doing to address it? But there is a lot on, absolutely. But we do absolutely appreciate your time. Some tough questions there. So we absolutely appreciate you answering them. Thank you.
All good, mate. Anytime.
That's Craig Crawford. He's the state member for Barron River and minister for a whole bunch of portfolios, in fact, seniors, disability services, and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander partnerships. It's 13 to 12.